1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word this morning as the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, commencing to read at verse number 1. This is a great chapter on love and the love of God and that is shed abroad in the hearts of His redeemed people. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, that word is love. I am become as a sounding brass, or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of all of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. And we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will open Thy word to our hearts. Pray that as we search the Scriptures this morning that we might be truly led of Thee and oh, for the power of Thy Holy Spirit to minister to the needs of this congregation as we open the Scriptures together. We pray that we might be led of the Holy Ghost. And Father, that Thou wilt minister to our heart's need right now. I pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Turn to the book of Galatians and the chapter is the chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we commence just a little verse of God's Word, verse 22, Galatians chapter 5, 22. And it says there in Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We were thinking about that last Lord's Day morning. And we're looking there, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we have the consideration of love and the different words that are given to us in the Greek for that word love. We concluded last Lord's Day morning at the constraint of love. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, the love of Christ constrains us. And of course we have the constraint of love in Peter's heart when Jesus said to Peter, he said, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter answered, he said, thou knowest that I love thee. But I want us to go further this morning. I want us to think about the cultivation of love. Because the love that God commands and demands of our lives and the love of Christ which constrains us is not a love that just simply happens. It is a love that has to be earnestly sought after. It is a love that we need to pray for. And that God's people will have the love of God in our hearts, that agape, that real love, that heart love, the love that Christ had for his people. Remember, God is love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says these words, in verse number 1, it says, follow after love. You see, the love that God requires in our hearts is not something that just happens, as I said a moment ago. It's something that we have got to strive for. It is something we've got to earnestly pray for. And the Word of God says in verse 1 of chapter 14, follow after love. And the word follow there, it's a word that denotes a strenuous activity. It's something that people have to strain themselves. It's an activity that is strenuous. You've got to follow after it. It is a word that speaks about pursuit. And it's the pursuit of the Christian's heart and the Christian's life. Do you remember Paul, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, he said, I press toward the mark. And you can see him there. He's running the race. And he sees the line there. And he says, I'm straining every muscle, as it were, in this activity. He said, I press toward the mark. Not that I've already attained. He said, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't got to the mark. But he said, I press toward the mark. And whenever we think of those words, follow after love or charity, we have got to press forward. But friend, in so doing, we have got to be careful. Because we have got to watch out. Because the devil will be crafty in how he tries to distract us. And how the devil will try to hinder us. Remember, the ideal is following after or striving after love. The love of God. It's love that you and I need in our hearts. But the devil will try to hinder us in the pursuit of that ideal. And they try to put obstacles in our pathway. Sometimes the obstacles people in our pathway. Sometimes it's circumstances. Sometimes it's problems and difficulties that the devil will seek to hinder us. And so therefore there is a following after. And there is an exerting, a strenuous exerting of activity here. As we follow after love. And it's not something that happens in a moment, because let me tell you, it's a daily following after. And we have got to do it with patience, and we have got to do it with a persistence. We've got to follow after that love. You'll notice whenever we think about this, Paul, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, he had a prayer for them. Notice the prayer that he had for them. I said to you, know this following after love, it just doesn't happen. We've got to pray earnestly that God will help us to battle through for this, and God will give us the victory in our hearts. The book of Philippians chapter 1. Notice what he says in verse number 9. He said, For this I pray, that your love may abound. He's praying that the believers here at Philippi, that their love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What a prayer. That's a prayer that we could pray for God's people on this hill this morning. It's a prayer indeed that we could pray for ourselves before the throne of grace earnestly this morning. And this I pray, that your love may abound. See that word abound? The word abound means to be over and above. To be over and above. Paul's writing to the believers at Thessalonica. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in the verse number 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says this, verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." There we have the word abound again. And what he's saying is this, he is praying that their love may be over and above. In other words, that their love might overflow like the breaking waves of a sea. That the love in their hearts, this love of God which is shed abroad in their hearts, that it would so abound over and above that it would spill over to the people around them. That would overflow into others' lives. Is that what you're letting overflow from your life? Be honest. Every person in God's house this morning that professes the name of Jesus, you have an influence on someone. Your life is living a message. I wonder, as you and I have lived this week, are we letting the love, or have we let the love of God overflow? Have we allowed it to overflow and break like the waves of the sea and might go over the wall and flow into others' lives? That's what Paul prayed. He says, "God, I want their love to overflow." And friend, that's what I pray for my own heart, and that's what I pray for your heart. That this week, friend, if it hasn't been last week, that God will so change us that the love of God will overflow. It'll flow into the lives of others. He prayed that for the Thessalonian believers. He prayed that for the Philippian believers. And we ought to pray it the one for the other. Yes, it's not something just what happens, this love, friend. It's something that has to be cultivated. He said, "For this I pray." And you've got to earnestly pray for this. "Oh God, so let my heart be filled with thy love and so be like thee, because remember, God is love." And if we want to be like the Lord, friend, then we have got to have a loving heart. And if we've got a loving heart, then God has got to deal with something else that's there. The hardness of our hearts. Let me tell you, a loving heart's not a hard heart. And I know that situations can make you hard, and I know perhaps age can make you hard. Please, Lord, spare me from it. But I tell you this before God, friend. It's a mighty blessing whenever a person comes into your presence. And when they come into your presence, they're spreading, they're overflowing the love of Christ. And I'll tell you this. You'll know it. You'll know it. It'll not necessarily be what they say. But you'll know it. When it's the love of Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, you know, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was writing here. This is what he says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." You see? That's what happened, friend. "Ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Then it says this, "See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Fervent love. And what is fervent love, friend? Let me tell you, that is love. The word fervent means in an outstanding way. In an outstanding way. It'll stand out. And the love that God's people have and need in their hearts is a love that stands out.
It stands out in a mighty way. It tells for the Lord. And he says, I pray that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this, and beside this, he said, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. 2 Peter 1, verse 7. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling the election sure. You see, friends, he's saying here, if you want to be fruitful, then there has to be the virtue and the knowledge and your faith and your temperance and your patience and your godliness and your kindness and your brotherly love. A brotherly love, the one for the other. Is that what you and I are cultivating in our hearts, friend? Is that what we've been praying to God for? But let's move very quickly as time's going then. Notice the contribution of love. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 now. And what a chapter this is, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because the Holy Ghost ministers to my heart in this passage of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when I look at this passage of God's Word, I see a threefold division in this chapter, and we can only mention things in passing because we're not going step by step here, but we'll find that it's a chapter on love. And the first three verses remind us that love enriches. And verse 4-7 reminds us that love edifies. And verse 8-13 reminds us that love endures. And so you can meditate upon this yourself. But I want you to notice, friend, let me tell you, they speak about, look at verse 31 of chapter 12. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And so it's mentioned in that chapter that there are spiritual gifts. But whenever it says that you are to covet the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way, he then goes into the next 13 verses on the subject of love. And you see, what the Spirit of God is saying here is, I don't care what spiritual gifts you may claim to have, or how exciting they might be, but they are useless if they are not ministered in love. You know, people are very proud of the gifts they have. And some people are boastful of their spiritual gifts. Let me tell you, my friend, if your gifts are not ministered in love, then they're useless. They're useless. You'll find, first of all, the deficiency of love. What I mean by that is the absence of love is a dangerous thing. Let's look at the opening verses. Chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass, or as a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm just all noise. That's all I am. I'm just all noise. See, many people today, they think that they are noted for being heard. They want to be heard. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost says, even you could speak with the tongues of men and angels, and you haven't love, you're just an empty vessel. And all you are is noise. Now, of course, Paul, let me tell you, he was a man that spoke in many tongues. Some of the commentators tell us that Paul had 8 different languages that he spoke in. He was a very learned person. I find it hard enough to speak in one. But Paul spoke in approximately 8 languages, friend, and this is what he said. Listen, though I speak with the tongues of men, many languages, and even though I were to have the very tongues of angels, and I haven't love, he said, I am become as a sounding brass and as a tinkling cymbal. In other words, what he's saying is, though I be a gifted communicator, either with men or God, and I haven't the love of God in my heart, and I'm just like an empty vessel. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecies, in other words, though I have a glorious prophecy, or I'm a glorious prophet, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And in the Old Testament prophet was a person who spoke for God to the people. He was one who knew what God wanted to be said, and he spoke it from God. And the Old Testament prophets, they spoke not their own words, but they spoke the word from God. And they spoke what God wanted to say, and it was a mystery to others, but they spoke on behalf of God. And thereby people might know the will of God, what God wanted them to do. And what a tremendous commission that is, friend. Listen, glorious prophet, set apart by God. And yet he says this, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I haven't love, end of the verse, I am nothing. I'm nothing. And then he says something else. He says, though I have all faith. In other words, though I have a Godward confidence. Though I possess a faith that accomplishes the impossible. Though my name could be written in the hall of faith, as in Hebrews chapter 11. Though I were able to see the unbelievable things happen. Though I had the gift of all faith. And have not love. I'm nothing. And then he says this. Though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I have nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I be noted to have a global compassion, and I see the needy across the world, and I reach out into my pockets, and I hand what I have to the poor, even though I should bestow all of that. Friend, that's a good gesture. And I do believe that God's people ought to rightly reach down and give. But he says this, though I bestow all my goods
to feed the poor.
And having love, I'm nothing. You know, love is like the five loaves and the two fishes. It doesn't start to multiply until you give it away. And when you're willing to give, friend, I'll tell you, God can multiply. And you see that person, friend, that brought us to Liverpool, and you see the person that paid for the hall for Liverpool, not a member of the congregation in Liverpool, but wanted to do something for the Lord. Friends, let me tell you, when they gave it, they have a part of the blessing that God gave us and God gave the people. And then it says this, and though I give my body to be burned, yes, though I be noted for giving completely, because you can give no more. Though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. People's always looking to return. Let me tell you. Friend, even you're to do all of those things. That's love's deficiency. Deficiency of love. And when people have love absent from their lives, friend, I want to tell you, no matter what else they do, it's nothing. If it's not done with the love of Christ in their heart. But there's not only the deficiency of love, there's the demonstration of love. And you can, and I know time's away this morning, but let me just give you just something as we start here. You will find that when you look at the demonstration of love down this passage of God's Word, you'll notice something in this demonstration. You'll find that there is, in the practicality of love, there is the positive side and there is the negative side of love. Do you notice that in Acts chapter 13? The demonstration of love. The demonstration of it in the positive. Notice what it says here in verse number 4. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love suffereth long in its chair. In other words, love is patient. It's patient. It suffereth long. And I know times in all of our lives, friend, there are things that can test your patience. But I want to tell you, if the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, then I want to tell you the Spirit of God will remind us there is a patience with love. You know, whenever I think of how patient the Lord was with Peter. You know, most of us would have written Peter off when he denied the Lord with oaths and curses. I want to tell you, the Lord didn't write him off. God was patient with Peter. And I'll tell you, friend, not only isn't God good that he was patient with Peter, isn't God good that he's patient with us? You see, you and I know the fault of Peter. You and I know because it's recorded in the Word of God. You and I can see impetuous Peter. He's always out there in the front. He's always speaking. And many times he's speaking before he thinks of what he's saying. He's always doing something. I go a fishing. They said, well, we'll also go with thee. He led the way. Peter was impatient. You know, God was very patient with him. Let me tell you, you and I know Peter's fault. God knows yours and mine. Others may not know the faults and failures of you and I this week, friend, but I want to tell you, God knows. And God's Word reminds us that God was patient with Peter in the demonstration. You see, love is patient. It suffereth long. And then something else. Love is not only patient, love is kind. Notice what it says. Charity suffereth long and is kind.
You know, kindness doesn't cost a lot.
But kindness can mean a lot.
Sometimes, friend, let me tell you, I'm going to say something. You mightn't believe this, but it is as easy to smile than it is to pray. And believe it or not, it makes you look better. And there's people, let me tell you this, and if they had a smile on their face, God knows, it nearly would be a miracle.
But love is kind. Sometimes, friend, it's not what you give to somebody. Sometimes it's just to reach out that hand of love. Maybe it is that friendliness. Conveying friendliness. Letting somebody know that you're thinking about them.
You don't know what a blessing it is as people listen in to our services and those that are serving the Lord and they hear their names mentioned and they know they're being remembered. And they're blessed by that.
Maybe it's the paying of a visit to somebody. Just letting them know that you're thinking of them. Let me tell you, it may not cost you a lot to do it. But the consequences is incalculable. Because love is kind. Love's kind.
I'm going to finish because time's away. See one other thing. Because the positive side about this love, it go to verse 7. You've got to skip over the next verses. Next verse. Because you'll find the negative things. But when you come to verse 7, you come to the positive thing. It says, love beareth all things. Yes. And the thought behind the word beareth all things, love protects. Love does not desire to be a stumbling block to somebody else, to a brother or sister, but love seeks to protect them, and therefore they bear things. You bear it for Christ's sake. You often heard the statement, grim and bear. Sometimes it's hard to bear. You know, when somebody says that hurtful thing to you, friends, sometimes it's hard just to bear it. You know what the natural thing is to do? Snap them back. Just bite the nose of them. And quite often people walk away and say, didn't I tell her? She'll not say that to me again. Let me tell you, friend, was that showing the love of Christ? How much did it please the Master when you walked away with your nose stuck in the air to say, will I let her know? Was Jesus pleased? And sometimes, friend, let me tell you, God reminding us, love beareth all things. You bear it for Jesus' sake. You bear it for Jesus' sake. Because in the so bearing, you do not put a stumbling block in the path of others. Let me tell you, read the story of the Apostle Paul, and he suffered much. And he bore a lot, friend. But he did it for Jesus' sake. That the Lord's name will be glorified. Beareth all things, believeth all things. There's the last one I want to leave with you. Because love trusts. Trust. And even though we can't see the way ahead, we simply trust. You say, preacher, if you could only see the pathway before me, so bleak and so dark, if you could only know the journey that I've walked this week, let me tell you, friend, the Lord does know. And if you want to lay it before us and you want us to share it with you, then we'd gladly do it. For Jesus' sake. But first of all, take your burden to the Lord. And leave it there. Trust Him. Trust Him. Because love believeth all things. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've never known what it is to rest your soul upon the finished work of the Savior's cross at Calvary for the salvation of your soul. And you're lost in sin and you died as you are, friend, you'll be lost for all eternity. May God give you the gift of faith today. Trust Him. As many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The Lord Jesus said to a man in the Scriptures one day, He said, "Believest thou this?" And he said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my non-belief." And if there's someone in this service this morning and you're not saved, I beg you in Jesus' name, come. Put your faith, your trust alone in the finished work of the Savior's cross. Thank God He'll save you for all eternity. And child of God, if you're facing a dark passage this week and maybe a deep valley to walk into, you just remember, love believeth all things. Love trusts the Lord, even in the shadows. Even in the darkness. Heavenly Father, we leave Thy word before Thee and we pray that You'll write it upon our hearts. Help us to go out into this world of darkness and sin. Help us to show the love of Christ. For that love of Christ constrains us. Help us, our God, by the power of Thy Spirit to persuade men to come to Christ and be saved even this day in Jesus' name.